a complicated sugya we didn't say, so we'll see if we can figure it out. I'm not sure that I can, but maybe you'll help me out over here. Just to get the lay of the land again over here, this Siman Kofei, you know, can be late, you know, we keep on referring to, it's a long Siman, but, you know, the emphasis is really more in the, first half of the Siman. But we'll see, the basic lay of the land of the Siman is that it's all about how Pios travel. If Aleph was Kavush, right? Siv Beis was Tasar Gavari La Gavar. Gimel Dalet Hei Vav are all about Sli, being the two things that touch each other dry. And the end of the Siman is about Malicha. That's Siv Tes. But today, I'd like to focus primarily on Zayin and Ches, which are somewhat complicated. Before we get to that, just one more closing point when it comes to Tzli and the Kedei Netila. When it comes to defining the exact distinction between Tzli and Bishul, so it's very, very critical. Remember our Shaila, the dressing that had skim milk in it? So, you know, one could ask, granted that the skim milk, I think someone did ask, and it wasn't clear in the answer, but granted that the skim milk is not part of the shishin, in the dressing, but shouldn't it be bottled the shishin in the chicken, right? That the amount of skim milk in the chicken and the dressing should have been a bit of the shishin. And the answer is in a chinami if the chicken were mevusha, but if it's tzli, that doesn't work, right? If it's tzli, it only goes a kedei netila. And what defines tzli? Is it when something is baking in an oven? Is that mevusha or is that tzli? So if that dressing fell into chicken soup, let's say, so then in a chinami, it would probably be bottled, right? The skim milk would be bottled in the chicken soup, right? That would probably be true. You wouldn't be allowed to put it into the chicken soup, but it would probably be bottled in the chicken soup. That's not what happened. She put it on chicken. So if that is defined as tzli, so then you really have a problem. And you're not going to have bittul of everything. You need to take kedei netila of everything, and if you're not kedei netila, you have asa b'chala. So when it comes to defining the distinction between Tzli and Bishul, it's important to have a Hagdara. So Chasdas in Siman Seven Days in the Biurim in Siman Chapter Chav says, you know, just having a little moisture does not make something Mevushal. Dark in Tshuva, in Siman Chapter Chav, quotes a Tshuva space Yehuda that Dafka Rotav V'lach Mamish Ve'ina. A little moisture is not considered to be Rotav. It has to be real juice. And the Yad Yehuda, the Pirush HaKatzer, writes that the juices would have to cover the entire chaticha. The Ad Ephraim in Siman Ayin Vav also says the liquid has to totally surround the piece of meat. So if you just have some dressing on some chicken that's going to be cooking in its own juices that are going to mostly be evaporating anyway, that is certainly a case of tzli. That is not a case of bishul. And as a case of tzli, you need a kedei netila. Within the kedei netila, you have bas b'chalav. As it turned out, the Rabbi Gerstin heard back from the company, and they said, they tell you tzad lahakla, what tzad lahakla was? Rabbi Gerstin originally said that maybe tzad lahakla might be, and most often in salad dressing, when they say skim milk, they don't really mean skim milk, they mean powder version of the skim milk. I mean, they'll dehydrate it, powdered milk, and then they'll reconstitute it with water. So they count that as, let's say, 3% of the product is skim milk, but it's not really 3% of the product is skim milk. 3% of the product is reconstituted skim milk. So the question is, does that count as 3%, or does only the powder count as milk, and not the water that it was rehydrated with? So if only the powder counts as milk, then it could be bottled as shishim. So the Gerson said, Rabbi Yashiv and Rebelsky both held that you just look at the powder and not at the reconstituted skim milk. So Rabbi Gerstin, who was the recorder of Psak for the OU, tells you that Rabbi Belsky held a certain way, and he does not tell you that Rabbi Shachter held that way, so you could be sure that Rabbi Shachter does not hold that way. So I asked Rabbi Shachter, what if we could find out that it was just powdered skim milk? He said, so what? But they turn it back into skim milk, so it's milk. You know, so very clearly did not hold that way. Didn't understand why anyone would hold that way. But there is such a shita in Poskin. As it turns out, they heard back from the company that it's actual skim milk. It's not dehydrated, hydrated. It's just actual. It's actual skim milk. We have mamish milk side lahava. So the whole shita is about kashrut and kedusha. So the whole thing becomes a shaylin hilchos hechsher kelim when it comes to the dishes and when it comes to, so obviously the forks and knives, that's easy enough. So you do agala pyrexes and the, which are glass dishes that the kelim cook in, and the plates, the you know, the klecheres plates, that's going to be a much much bigger problem. Yeah.
Just thought
of this. Ashkenazi was draped up a glass cleat. Can I
just buy it and use it?
Probably.
Yeah. Right, if you're in the market for Paris, yeah. Or if you hold up the glaze over the china, the little thin leather of whatever, the thin spray of glaze that they have over china, is makes it a, you know, glaze of chuchus. Maybe you can get a nice two new sets of Shabbos shops that week then. Yeah, Jay?
But isn't that Hanah's possible pop? I mean, I can't sell you that and make a profit off of my trade.
We can give it to you. We can give it to you. That is not a possible pop. No, yeah, you're getting out of your butt, you're selling the candy, you're not selling the possible pop.
Chicken.
And Rasmus comes to our anyway, it's chicken. You don't make it as a meat recipe. That was the big, the only arrow that was pointing in the right direction, and it was all shaylin, was that it was chicken as opposed to meat. But okay, so these things come up. Kedei netiva. So how much is a kedei netiva? So the Mishnah Berurah in Simchat Torah Samach Aleph writes that it's kol ovi roch v'gadol beinoni. It's the thickness of an average sized thumb. The Ran in Chulin writes that a kedei netiva is a bit more than a klipa, which makes it sound like way less than the thickness of the thumb. It's just a little more than a klipa. Mechaber says that it's called the Yetzba, because it's, you know, it's an open shut case in terms of halacha, right? Right? Mechaber says that? He says it's called the Yetzba, I think. That's the shear of today in the Tila. Okay, let's try to get into the parsha of Se'ifim Zayin and Ches. So a little bit of background that we've already discussed, but just to sort of remind ourselves. A nevela, when you have an actual nevela, that's what we call isur machnas atzmo. It's us because it's us, right? That's nothing to talk about. When you have kosher meat, however, that's bolei isur, then that's not isur machnas atzmo. It's an isur mitam bliyah, because there's a bliyah of isur in the kosher meat, and that's where you get into the discussion: do we say chanan b'shar isur, or do we not say chanan b'shar isur? If you have a kosher piece of meat that has a bliyah of chala, so then we certainly say chanan, then we can't say chetza of bas b'chala. When something is only an Isser Belua and not an Isser Machnas Atzmo, so that's kind of the theme over here of how far do Bliyos go. When something is only Asr Machnas, the Bliya Shabo, how far can the Bliya Shabo travel to other things? Right? To what extent we say that those Bliyos affect other things? And the theme of Siv Zayin essentially is that possible chilik between Isser Machnas Atzmo versus an Isser Belua. Whether the bliya travels through sleep. Now, generally, when it comes to kelim, we have a din that ein bliya yotzi mikli or kli below rota, and a similar din ein bliya yotzi mechaticha lechaticha, perhaps below rota. That even the bliya that's an isur belua within a chaticha is not going to travel to another chaticha without any rota in between. So, if you have a hot leishik pot and a hot milchik pot that touch each other, They're both kosher because there's no rotav in between. I mean, it's just the outside of the pot, and the outside of the pots are clean, and they touch each other, even though they're boiling hot. Nothing happens because there's no rotav to affect the transference of top. And that's the simplest case that you have in Sif Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch is clear about that, right? That's the simplest of the four cases, essentially. I mean, the Sif Zayin, that's an open and shut halacha. The question is, what's considered dry and what's considered wet, right? I mean, what is considered a rotav? So Prima Gautam writes that sometimes you just have droplets of moisture from the sweating of the kli, and that's not called moisture. This din, that ain bliya yotzi mikli or kli below rotav, we've discussed in the past, that's why you're allowed to have a kosher meal on a plane, even though they're also serving non-kosher meals, and they don't have like a separate warmer to heat up the kosher meals. What do? As you see, it comes double wrapped. Why does the double wrapping help? It normally comes double wrapped and then some, right? But why does the double wrapping help? Because they put it in this warmer, and let's say all the non-kosher meals are wide open, right? So there's Zeyan, Hevel, and everything of the non-kosher meals floating all over that oven. So then it's going to be nivla into the outer wrapping of your the outer wrapping of foil of your meal. And how's it going to get to the inner wrapping? Well, there's no rotan in between the outer wrapping and the inner wrapping. So even though the outer wrapping taka becomes treif, it's not going to be able to transfer to the inner wrapping because the outer wrapping and the inner wrapping are both kelim that there's no rotav in between to affect the transfer. So that's why they could have open non kosher food heating your airplane food as long as your airplane food is double wrapped. Is to say it goes from the non kosher food to the outer wrapping of the kosher meal, and the outer wrapping tack becomes straight. You're not allowed to then use the outer wrapping, you know, on the a pot to cook in or whatever someone might use it for, but the tam won't transfer from the outer wrapping to the inner wrapping without any rota. And that's why if you want to warm up food on a dirty blech, let's say there's a blech, the old sheet of metal that they would put over a stovetop. So let's say you want to warm up milch and food, and it's a dirty blech with fleishig dirtiness, you know, fleshiga spills all over it. So you could technically wrap the whole blech in foil and then take a pot, a milch pot, and put it over that foil. Because Enoch Inami, the bliya is going to go from that spillage to the heavy-duty foil that you line the blech with. But how's it going to get from that heavy-duty foil into the milch pot? If the milch pot is clean and there's no rotav, so it's not going to be able to transfer from the blech into that foil. Or you take aluminum pans and you put it over that foil and you warm things up that way. So if let's say you were to tear something open, you were there, they give you the meal and you tear open the plastic covering before they put it in. You know, a lot of times in the airlines when they get the food, when they get the meal, it comes in a plastic covering, and they don't want to put the plastic into the oven because you're not supposed to put plastic in the ovens in general. So even though it's just a warm, they don't want it, so they'll rip off the plastic. Sometimes when they're ripping off the plastic, it sticks to the foil, and the outer layer of foil comes off with it. And then they heat the meal, so that would be a real problem, right? Because then you have an actual plea of issue that makes its way into the food, because it makes its way into the only covering that's around the food. So you really have to make sure that there's a double covering around the food. But anyway, a plea doesn't go from one thing to another without any rota, and perhaps from one piece to another piece without any rota, from one chaticha to another. It's different than an actual piece of nevela. In an actual piece of nevela, below rotav is what we call sleek, right? So you have an actual piece of nevela that's cooking together with a piece of kosher meat, and there's no rotav in between them. So it asks kedeti plus, you know, perhaps the shishim is a double shaman, whatever we learned previously. Everything that we learned in the previous few sefer is going to be relevant. So the Rashba writes. Someone have a question?
But I feel a lot of times,
like,
whatever it is, it's moist. That's not considered.
So if it's just the schwitzing of the kli, so they say that's not called rota. But if it's actually moist in between, it's what I mean. The outer part, the outer of the two wrappings can be moist, right? It's probably going to be. But in between the two, the double wrapping shouldn't be nothing but. Now the Rashba writes in Torah Sabbatis HaKotzer, that chatich shenes ramachna shekit latav limakom achet. Let's say you have a chaticha that's not asur machnas hasko. It's only asur because it was mekabel tam from somewhere else. Eina oseres chavruset. It's not going to asur another chaticha. Aval pisha nogus ben kishashvein chamas. Even though when they're both hot, they're touching each other. Vafilu nitzlu shteyer ke'echad benogus zubazu. And even if they're being roasted together while they're touching each other, while they're on the fire, because a bulia never goes below rota. So if you have something that's not nevela ba'atzma, again, previously in the last few seasons, we're talking about an actual piece of non-kosher meat that gets nitzla with kosher meat, gets roasted with kosher meat, so that's where you need the kedenet, that's where we have all these things. But if you have a piece of nevela, a piece of kosher meat that has a bliya of isser in it, and that piece of kosher meat with the bliya of isser cooks together with something else, roasts together with something else without a rota, the bliya is not going to be yotzei b'li rota. And it says, "Shemiyato merkein in chaklipa shaklipa oseres klipa smuchla." This is the biggest right. That is the whole concept of kedei klipa. Because every time you have a kedei klipa, that klipa should ask the next klipa, which should ask the next klipa, which should ask the next klipa, and it should always be usher. Elamai, the bliya doesn't transfer without rotav. It only goes a certain distance and it doesn't continue to asr the next klipa. If you as chatin sahetr shmeina b'shumun shabav b'fabeya, l'vishayin b'shumun shalhetr molech imo esa iser el bakim shisu yachol halich b'tiva. And even if it's shmeina, we assume that the bliya is not going to travel beyond where it could have traveled on its own. That the fattiness of the heter is not going to pick up that bliya and now allow it to completely penetrate the other chaticha. So when chaticha is not inherently aser, it became aser from something else, the transference of tam al yidei tzli doesn't happen because you need rotav to transfer. So that's the foundation. Yeah.
Isn't there a lot of achmer to say that hanan b'shar aser?
Oh, so the big question is, how do we reconcile this with Hanan? Right? And if you say Hanan b'shar asurim, so then what? Meaning, the whole idea is that once there's a bliya in the kosher meat, so that is Hanan. Chatikun as nevela, it is nevela atzma, and therefore it should ask Rabbi the big thing. So this is a basic machlokas in the Rishonim, how to reconcile exactly with Hanan Yishak. So the Ran holds that the principle of Eidav Blu Yotz Mechticha Mechticha Al Yerota, Ran points out, it's a direct contradiction to the principle of Hanan, because once Chaticha has a plea of Isser, that the entire Chaticha becomes the Vela. So when that piece then goes and touches another piece of meat, it should still require a Gedein Atila. And since we pass them like Hanan, says the Ran, we must assume that this principle of Ein Abole, Yosef Mechtich Mechtich Glorotav, is Shalot Halach. That this principle is not a principle in Halach. Right? So the Ran says, like Morty said, that it flies in the face of Hanan Mishari Surim, and therefore, if you hold Hanan Mishari Surim, which we do, then you're not going to hold Ein Abole, Yosef Mechtich Mechtich Glorotav. How would that be? Tosos in Chulim Sadevavim days said, no, we do all of Chanan, and yet we still say, in Isser Yachal Esar, Alevim Avim Isser Holik. Meaning, the original Dov Rasser won't spread to the Gedein Ativa, so the Chatif, that has the Isser Gulua, it will also not spread to the Gedein Ativa. Right? Which is essentially what Menachem is saying, that the idea of Chanan Mishari Surim is when it comes to measuring Bifl B'Shishim. So how much do I need to be mevatel this piece of meat? I think shishim keneged the entire piece of meat. But as far as other demon of an isser yotze migufo versus an isser that's also because of balua shabo, then we're not going to say that it has mamish the din of an isser yotze migufo of an isser in the chatzah itself. The din of bliya is still going to be weakened. It's going to be different. The din of a bliya is such that a bliya is not going to be able to be yotze beyond where it could have gone on its own. Now, so essentially, what the Machlokes Ran and Tosfos boils down to is: do we say this principle? Is there such a principle that in Bliya it's mechticha lechticha below rotav? Where the Ran says no, because we pass in Chanan Mishar Yisurim, and Tosfos says yes, because it's compatible with Chanan Mishar Yisurim. It's not incompatible with Chanan Mishar Yisurim. The tour seems to pass like Tosfos. It also seems to be the Shita Sarash, because the Torah writes ein Bliya it's mechticha lechticha below rotav. Right, meaning he quotes this principle. According to the Ran, you shouldn't quote this principle because we don't pass in that way. And the Torah writes, "Lahada chatichas iser oseves chavarta b'negiyasa." That which one chaticha that's aser can ask the other chaticha just by touching it. Davka she isura machmas atzma. That's only when it's iser machmas atzma. Go nevela or basa b'chalav. And he gives examples: nevela or basa b'chalav. But if it's only an Isser because of that which is Balua in it, then it's not going to ask for something else by touching it. And even if they're roasted together, right? The Torah quotes this exact din. So Shulchan Aruch says that if it's a davar shamein, then a bliya can go me'ochel olchel. And the Shach writes that even though we normally paskin that ain't on a bekiyin being kafush the shamein, but this is a chumrah in the first place, so we rely that that which seems kafush really is kafush. And if you look at Siv Zayin, had the chatichas Yisrael seres chaverta b'negiyasa, davka k'shi yisura machmas atzma. The fact that something goes asum tzli is only when it's machmas atzma, and he gives the examples. Go nevelo basu b'chalif, avav. im ein po Israel um nashe valim im makom acher ein o seres acher sam gas va va filu im nitzlu yachad ba ned var me mur she bal isu she ein um fapeya aber bal min ad varim um fap betivim kugos betivon kugos shuman o seres kaverta bebesli beb benogos u bezu kham becham of the tafsor of kham vel yom tzvet etc whether whichever transference of time method you know we're assuming. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says that we do paskin this halacha like the Torah does. Now the difficulty is that, and this is the discussion that the Achronim had. You look in the Shach and Sukkot and Yitzayim, and it's a long Shach. He says the Shulchan Aruch gave examples of an iser that's an iser machnasatzim, right? That's not an iser abalua. And what were his examples? A nevela itself. That's, you can't argue with that one. Right? The other one was basmachal. The basmachal is an iser machnasatzim. It says the shach sivkat miyazayin mashva dahainu chatichas basar shenivla michala. Sounds like he's talking about again chatichas basar that is a bulia of chalav in it. Shenechshav kol chaticha gufa iser. That the whole chaticha is considered the guf isur. Moshkas haposim is inside the base. Meaning that's another way of saying that the din of chanan by basar b'chalav is different than chanan b'shar isur. The chanan by basar b'chalav is that the whole thing becomes the isur machmasat. The question is that pasuk at Torah the el reisim kovalav ein l'din chaticha rim b'skavid el mkei isur machmasat v'mbeil basar b'chalav. Purush gam gedan isur basar b'chalav chedim mari etc. But he points out. Where is it? So you got to work through this shach, which I didn't have time to look at today, but let's look at it together. Pirush gam gedan shnuvu basum chalav chedet mari v'adarki mosh v'adrisha sivtas v'shar akor v'divri ator shem v'divri amachaber t'chatichas basra v'lua v'chalav oseres chavartim v'negiya v'lo rotav. So if you have a chatich of basar that was bolei achalav, so that's an isur machmas atzma. And now, if that chaticha touches another chaticha of basar in the context of roasting, it will ask for kedei netiva. Achei norash because of the doros of ayis dvar melech shamarnu afilu bebasar bechalav shachalav enu mefapeya. But the Rashba says, what are you talking about? If it's a cheeseburger memela, okay, that's basar bechalav. But over here, it's a piece of basar that was balea chalav. So it's an isra of a blia that's in the meat, and that is eino mefapeya. Va'afu pisha se'uak chatichas nevela. And even though we say chanan by basar bechalav, lo asuk nevela atzma ledavar zeh. We're not going to make it like a nevela atzma. Look at me, this halacha ad kadoshon. Meaning, he essentially points out that the example the Shulchan Aruch gives, the Rashba would disagree with, right? Because the example the Shulchan Aruch gives is an example of basar b'chalav, which presumably means a piece of basar that's nivla b'chalav and not a cheeseburger. So he said, but the Rashba says that no, it's just nivla b'chalav. So that's a bliya like any other bliya that doesn't transfer without rota. Let's say a basar that was only mekabel tam from chalav, and then you just don't have shishim. B'shuv nogah b'shuv cham b'basar acher, and then it touches other basar. Kasev b'mordechai b'shem rim chimsev rachuma. They also b'lorotav b'shmeita d'tibas chalav. V'chichu sorazos meyim d'nir v'kisa. He says it's clear that it's not going to be able to transfer. V'kasha d'mayishna mehata kasev b'sev rachuma d'basar chalav shayni mishari surim. Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. Essentially, the difficulty with the Torah is that he gave examples of chaticha that's not only in Isra on account of blios, but is inherently also kigo nevela bas b'chalav. And when the Mishnah spoke about blios not transferring without rotav, it was a case of chaticha b'chalav that fell on a piece of basa. And that was the actual case of the Gemara. And it was chaticha b'chalav that fell on a piece of basa that was outside of the rotav. right? So now it's not going to transfer. So the Basim Chalv is the source of the principle. How could it be an exception to the principle? Right? That's why the Rashba doesn't hold like this. The Rashba holds that if it's only a bliya of Chalav, then it's not going to transfer. If it's a cheeseburger, then it will transfer. But if it's only a bliya of Chalav, then it's not going to transfer. So the Machaber is very misleading. That's why the Shach, the Sukkot and Yitzayin that we just read, explains that Basim Chalav is considered an Isser Balua for some halachos, and it's considered an Isser Machos Atzmo for other halachos. And in a chinam, when you have a piece of meat that's Balua Chalav, Chatir Vanaz Levela, and in a certain sense, we consider that not just to be Asr Midin the Bliya. So as far as the where I stopped short of bringing the Shach is about to get into, Chatichar Ruya Leskabe. Right? So what would you say? Do we say a nice piece of kosher meat that has some tam of nevela absorbed in it, is that called chatichori l'skabe? A nice, good chatichori l'skabe of kosher meat that has tam of nevela absorbed in it. So no, a little chazar, is that called chatichori l'skabe? No, because the issue is not real l'skabe, right? That's not called chatichori l'skabe. What about a nice piece of kosher meat that has tam of chalav absorbed in it? Is that called the chatichori l'skabe? That's not going to be batel. So that, yeah, now we say it's chatichru l'skabi. Why? Because it's asr machmas atzmo. So it's considered to be a chatichru l'skabi. So when it comes to the vela that's absorbed in a beautiful piece of kosher meat, then the isser is not really l'skabi. But if a nice piece of kosher meat is tam of milk, then it's real l'skabi, because the entire entity becomes a davar asr and becomes the isser atzmo. So it's really l'skabi. So on the surface, you think, okay, so then the same thing should apply. Then you can say, when there are bleos of chalav in this meat, good, so this meat is the iser. So it should be that the rule, should not apply, because it doesn't apply to something that's nismach masatzbo, nismach masatzbo will travel. Thus, chalav is nismach masatzbo. However, like we said, the entire source in the Gemara is about Chatichah Michutz L'Rotav, that is a Tikkas Chalav that fell on it. And we said, oh, now Rotav is near Mekisa, so that's when it's going to transfer. Otherwise, it's not going to transfer. But that very Chatichah has a piece of Chalav on it. It became the Isser, and part of it is still in the sausage and that. No, we don't say that. It's only near Mekisa. It's only going to transfer. The Bliya is only going to transfer when you have Rotav. So it must be that there are three categories. There's the low-level chanan of sharmisur, where you have a chaticha that is balei isur, where you say, yeah, chanan, but that's only an accounting issue. That's only in terms of measuring shisha. If you're going to say chanan, it's only in terms of measuring shisha. So that's very low-level chanan, where it's purely an accounting issue. Right? Then you have super chanan, where you have bas mechala, that is mamish basar and chalav that are mixed together. It's mamish cheeseburger, right? So that's going to be the yisur machmas atzmo of the kaddish. For the sky, it's going to be the yisur machmas atzmo as far as bleos. When you roast it together with something else, it's going to go from day to day. And now what the Shach is telling us is that there's this in between category where you have basar that's balua with tam of chalav, and if it's balua with tam of chalav, it's considered to be the yisur machmas atzmo klape chatichori l'skabe, right? That it is a chatichori l'skabe. But it's not considered to be a chatichah, an ismach masatz. Well, klapi the din of a bliya being yotze from chatichah to chatichah below rota, and therefore if you roast from somebody else, it's only going to go. It's not even going to go. Kedetatina. Now, what's the logic? So the logic to consider it only a bliya, not an ismach musa, with regard to this halacha, being a bliya yotze from chatichah to chatichah below rota, is explained by the Shach as follows. He quotes Sefer Shmuel in the Mordechai, the yirah letarik success. Devade basu b'chalav calls manshu ma'ura mikri sharsho v'gufo shalisa. When you have actual milk and actual meat that are mixed together, yeah, that's the issue. V'afilu abasu b'lo chalav kimo kile begotin bizman shechut pishta ma'ura v'talas tzemer asu l'skasos b'chalav tachas. Imagine that case, right? Someone gives you a jacket and they say, look, there's in the left sleeve, there's shatas. Right, it's a wool jacket, there's a little bit of mishtan in the left sleeve. But don't worry, you only want to use this as a tefillin jacket. Anyway, it's a davening jacket. So if you're a yeshivish guy, right? And you want to use it as a davening jacket, so you have the sleeve hanging down with the button with the thing, and maybe you'll even tie the kartel around and be a little chassidish, you know, if you have a feel to you also. Right? But the sleeve is hanging down. So I'm not using the sleeve. I'm only using the rest of the jacket. So is that a violation of Shabbos? Happens we just add up Shabbos and Absharab, that salvation held that that's better not to wear a jacket than to wear a jacket with the sleeve hanging down. Because the whole point of wearing a jacket is that you should look mukhubah, the female, that mood walker, the female, looking like that. So you should find out. I know the style now is for very tight clothing, but you should have at least one jacket that's a davening jacket that's not so tight that the tefillin can fit over the tefillin. Don't just buy smaller tefillin. It's not better to buy jackets with bigger sleeves than so you want the sleeve over the jacket. He said, I think of Shachar Reza that Rav Salvechik, one of his shamashim, maybe Rabbi Brander, when he was being shamashim, noticed that he stopped wearing a jacket from Gotham. He said, what happened? He said, I got a hold of Rav Chaim's tefillin. And he yarshin somehow, Rav Chaim's tefillin, Rav Chaim had very large tefillin knot, and his jacket sleeve didn't fit over it. So he can either not wear a pipe tefillin or not wear a jacket. He said he didn't think it was an option to have the sleeve hanging down. He thought that's bizarre, the sleeve in the davening like that in front of Melachim Lachim. So that's not appropriate. Other poskim say, no, but that's how you do it. Meaning, Yaakov's work wants you to wear a tefillin. So if he wants you to wear a tefillin, he's going to understand that. That's where, okay, but anyway, shatnas, right? So the shat says, so when it comes to shatnas, if there's shatnas only in the left sleeve, you're not allowed to wear the entire jacket. The whole bag, it becomes awesome to you. Well, let's say if a person, let's say he's having a rough patch religiously, so he has this whole davening jacket, he's like, what am I going to do with this davening jacket? He's like, sleeveless, I'll show my guns, you know, I'll cut off the sleeves of my old davening jacket, and I'll wear it that way. Right? So now he cuts off the left sleeve of his davening jacket. This was the beggar that used to have a chut pishtan that was attached to it. But if you cut off the sleeve, it no longer has a chut pishtan attached to it. Now it's mutter. Now it becomes mutter, says the shah. Right? So he makes a dimion over here. Hachinami, kimlu l'rabbanan, she'im shum tam holik l'chaticha zu, rak tam debasul chul, v'lo shum chalot. Elim kinami derota. Chazal understood that when there is a tam of chalot that goes into the basar, that tam is not going to be the tam that goes out into the other piece of meat. So long as the tam of the chalot is in this piece of meat, I'm not allowed to eat any part of this piece of meat. But the next piece of meat that had some of this piece of meat, some of the top of this piece of meat extracted into it, is like the cut jacket. I cut it off from the original source of the Yisra. Because none of the Tam Chalav ever came in here, ever came into the second piece of meat. So it's as if it was cut off from the original Yisra. Oh, so that's the sleeveless jacket where it may be a fashion faux pas, but you're allowed to wear it. There's no Yisra of Shat. It's not really Ki'ilu Ba'el Yozal. It's as if Eliyahu Navi came, but Amalani gets so dramatic. I mean, I assume he said it in his voice. Neftach min avasa zeh chaticha ketana, shein ba shum tam chala. That this is a chaticha, a little piece of this piece of meat with no tam chala, I'll be sure to be kaid to klayim, and it's mutter just like klayim. Wow, okay, that's right. So when it comes to this shatnis, even if there's this shatnis in the sleeve, you're not allowed to wear the entire bag, the whole thing is shatnis, but if it's off the sleeve, it becomes mutter. So if you're able to cut off the milk from the piece of meat, then the rest of the meat will be mutter. So when the chatik basar has a bit of milk in the touch of that meat, so only the tam basar transfers into the neighboring meat. So that tam basar is considered mutter. That's the mahalik the shach suggests. He ultimately rejects it, but that's the mahalik the shach suggests. And he says, similar to the rabbi, that basar b'chalav is a chetzesh lisser, it's not just a sepulua. And maybe the Mishnah was assuming we don't say chana, but we do say chana. Also, right? In the whole Mishnah that we use Bas B'chalav as an example assumes not Chanan, but we do say Chanan, certainly by Bas B'chalav, full-fledged Chanan, and therefore this din is not going to apply to Bas B'chalav. I mean, the din of Ein Gliyah, Yotzi Mechaticha L'Chaticha V'lo Rota, is not going to apply to Bas B'chalav. If there's a Gliyah of Chalav in the Basar, Itaka will pass it, the rest. And that's how, so clearly the Shach holds that Bas B'chalav is called Balua. How does that reconcile with the Torah? Does he mean that that you, only when you create basar b'chalav it's considered simbas musar. So the shot suggests that the whole sugi is only if you don't say chanan. Once you say chanan, then it doesn't matter that the bliya won't transfer because the entire piece of meat is also anyway. And therefore, since chanan be basar b'chalav, we don't say ein bliya is mitzvaticha by basar b'chalav, which is exactly the mechaber said. That when it comes to basar b'chalav, even though it only has a bliya of the chalav in it, that's where it's going to grass. Says the Taz, it comes to the bliya. Picture Rashal Perkin and Ashes in Memei, Takhaim Ladin is for the Halech Glorotov, Filu b'basar b'chalav. And the writers from back in Simon Sani Bays, when a drop of chalav went on a piece of meat, and then that piece of meat touched other pieces of meat, it does not answer the other piece of meat unless there was near the kisa, unless you somehow mixed it in the goulash or something. El Shatur lo duck the kav. And lo shen farish mashkas kav the bas b'chalav. Wow. What's the case of the Shulchan Aruch? Nah, you have a piece of basar that's balua with chalav. You have a cheeseburger. That's the case of the Shulchan Aruch. But ain't a chinami if you had a piece of basar that was balua with chalav. Ain't a bliya yotzei chaticha lechaticha below rota. So the Taz says, Chaticha basar shebalu tifas chalav is unable to aser another piece without rota, because it's not isur machmas atzma. It's only if it's basar cham shenaga b'divina chama where it becomes an isur machmas atzma. So the Torah and the Chabad say that basar b'chalav is an isur machmas atzma. It means that if you take kosher meat and have it touch kosher cheese, the bleals transfer, meaning making a cheeseburger is a real problem. And then when you take that cheeseburger and you touch it to another piece of meat, that's a real problem. So essentially, we have a fundamental machlokas shach and taz with you, right? Would we say that a piece of basar that's balua with chala and ain bliya yas mechtich lechtifa below rota? But the Taz says, yeah, we're going to say that. And the Raya is from the Gemara. But the Shach in the end of the day does not say that. So many folks can assume like the Shach, that a chatichas basar that's nivla mechala is considered isumach masatzmo and prohibits another piece. Cham lecham lo b'chavu laser pitzli, right? That's pretty good. Cham stas, pitar, cham achayim, a big group of achronim side with the Shach. La halacha, the Chachmasadim, the Klal Samach, Klim Tes, as well as Nuchas Yaakov, are make like the Taz. So normally, what's the Klal? Machlok HaShach and Taz, normally like the Shach. And particularly here, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, I'll grant you, the Taz is also teaching up the Shulchan Aruch, but the Taz himself acknowledges that it's a Shvera teach in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? He's saying, I think the Shulchan Aruch, when he says, Basar b'chalav, is only talking about a cheeseburger. That's not the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. So usually if the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach agree, we're going to pass it like that. So you consider Basar b'chalav to be a Chafzer Shalisser against the Taz. Though the Taz is explaining the Shulchan Aruch, granted, but it's a dofa to assume that that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. That's only about making cheeseburgers. Good. So that's the Lechara how we pass.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you keep your piece?
That
Taz explained, isn't the meat part of
the
cheeseburger just meat
which
has no
bleos
in it? Cheese
to transfer bleos into each other, but you have the whole thing. You have the mushrooms and the cheese together with the meat.
A piece of meat from that cheeseburger would land on another piece of meat. Would that not be the same thing as just meat?
If it was just the meat from the cheeseburger, then another piece of meat, then it would land. But making the cheeseburger, you assume that the bleos transfer entirely. Now, Ramah has another application with regard to kelim. A dover of balua can't go from kli to kli without a liquid medium. So, the machlokas we showed him whether that's true the halacha as we saw. Right? The Ran rejects this klal by chatichos because he says you can't say that by chaticha. Then ain't a bliya yotzei mechaticha lechaticha lo rota because it's against chanan. Right? That was the point that Morty made before. That's the Ran. So he'll reject it by Kelim also. Right? Is not a thing. Bilarotav is also not a thing. But in the Shach, in Sifkat and Chavbeis, look at the Shach, on that Ramah, and what does Ramah say over here? The calls them shtei chatichos. Aval kli she nivla iser oser heter shevagebo afil gisru sheinu shamei. So says Shach, meach sheinu pleite migufa oser heter minir dacha meichel shel heter. Aval ein kli oser kli below rota. That when you're dealing with food, it's different than when you're dealing with two cable. That we accept the rule of ein of bliya yotzim mekli l'kli below rota. Poskim point out, though, that the minute by Pesach has to be machmir on this issue. Like, why don't we kasher or cover countertops for Pesach? The Chorus shouldn't need to be kashered at all. After all, what are you gonna? You're not gonna have rotav on your countertop, ideally at least. Let's say you have a tray for countertop. Can I take a half pot right off the stove with that's clean on the bottom and put it on a tray for countertop? Of course I can. It shouldn't be a problem. But you want to put it on a non-kashal Pesach. It's one of the chumrat of chametz. You have a lot of things that are chumrat of chametz. I got a call last night from a local rabbi in Five Towns. It was a WhatsApp first. He sent me a WhatsApp. Rabbi Lubitz, there are things being said in your name. I want to clarify with you because I think you're going to be pretty upset. So I'm like, oh, what did I say? It's definitely true, right? What did I say that's going to get me in trouble? So it's the same thing that gets me in trouble with your father all the time. For the past, 15 years, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, every Purim time, which is before Purim, sends out a tweet or whatever, everyone should know that you can buy that plain meat, that doesn't, plain chicken, that's not breaded and not corned beef and not any, just plain cut of meat. It does not need special Passover certification. You can buy it, rinse it, freeze it, and save it for Passover, especially because prices tend to go up around Pesach time. So if you want to save money, you can buy it now and rinse it, and it shouldn't be a problem. So the taina is that in all these places that aren't just like butchering just plain meat, you go to gourmet lot, they're breading it, they're breading chicken, they're preparing all sorts of things that are mamish chametz gam on the same tables, on the same so there's not even a chashash of mashu chametz on the plain meat. So I thought maybe chashash that a crumb hit it, so rinse it off, and then a crumb will be washed away. Everything's cold, there's nothing hot that they're dealing with. So I thought it wouldn't be a problem. So someone asked me, they said, I'm nervous the prices are going to go up. It's already, food's gotten so expensive. I'm hosting everyone for Pesach, and you can't. Can I buy meat now? So, yeah, just only I came to the darim, not corned beef, not anything, just plain meat. Yeah, you can buy, you can rinse it, you can freeze. So the rabbi called me up and he said, someone said in your name that you can buy plain meat and rinse it up. Who would say so? so he said it's mamish chametz in the kitchen. Yeah, this mamish chametz in my kitchen also right now, but like we're still going to use our same kitchen for Pesach. If I find a closed package of something, I'll still use it. It's not like this mamish chametz in it. I'm telling you, they told me that the saran wrap that they use to wrap the chicken and the meat, there's chametz on the saran wrap. I said, really? He said, yeah, they put flour on it so it doesn't stick to the chicken or the meat. I said, I never heard of that. Mamish flour? He said, well, kidneys. So, that changed fast, from kidneys to flour. And even if it's kidneys is bottled rove, and certainly if you rinse it off, the kidneys is off. It's not there anymore. And certainly Jerry will eat it. So I said, I'll ask for Shafton. And I haven't spoken to Shafton about it. Asking. But the other point the fellow made, and this is true of the stores in the Five Towns, certainly insist on that they insist. They never raise prices for Pesach. They say that even if the demand goes up, they'll lose money. They'd rather not make a profit than raise prices for Pesach.
Now the bingo opened.
Competition is good. Even capitalism is good. But anyway, but that's what they said, that all the meat stores say that they never raise prices for Pesach. I don't know. If that's the metzias, then there's no reason to be making. I mean, you might as well wait till they kasher the whole place. They kasher right now. They kasher at Purim time. And then, you know, for the next 5 weeks, we'll be buying, you know, stuff that's very kasher with that stuff. Anyway, the minhag is to be machner on this inyan when it comes to Pesach, according to many poskim. There's machlokas from Moshe and the Bavli HaShulchan, and, you know, just how far do you reject the rat? And Rav Moshe writes that even the chachilu, you can use the same stovetop for everything, because bliyos don't come from one kli to another kli. So throughout the year, you don't need a separate stovetop for milch and a stovetop for fleishus, as long as you put a clean kli on your stovetop. So even though there may be bliyos from the previous cooking in that in the stovetop, it's not going to transfer to the kli. But the Shulchan thought simple reading the Rambam that we should be machmel chachilu to assume that bliyos can go from one kli to another without any rota. Then the Rambam raises another exception of the Embu Yotzim Mechtif Tichal Averota. He writes, "Abal Kli Shabal Yisrael Oser Hetish Nogeva Afil Bisur Shem Veshame." That a Kli that's Bale Yisrael will ask for the Heter that touches it, even with an Yisrael She'en Veshame. Clearly, though, a Blia will go from a Kli to a Fum, even without Rota. Right? That's obvious. Not me, Michael and Michael below Rota, maybe. Not me, Kli with Kli below Rota, but from a Kli to a food without Rota. Why does that make any sense? Right? If you need Rota to transfer Blias, how come it can go from a Kli to a Michael without Rota? So it's apparently harder to be Mavlia into a Kli than it is to be Mavlia into a Rota. It's got to be true, right? Otherwise, I would just use a tray grill for a dry piece of meat without kashrut, and it would be fine. Because they. You'll say the Kliel Michael of the Lorota. So I should have no problem using it. Go to the park, take the trade grill that they have there, and take a dry piece of meat and slap it on there. You heard it here first. No, you didn't, right? You're not allowed to do that. The Gemara discusses Naparnat. It doesn't qualify that Naparnat is only operative with Rota, right? It never says that. So obviously, Kliels and Kalev can travel even without Rota. The Rashba and Kulin explains that the Gemara is. That blios don't penetrate as far into Kalim as they do into food. So it's easier for a blia to leave a kli than it is for a blia to leave a food. So whereas it needs rotav to leave a food, it doesn't necessarily need rotav to leave a kli. So it's easier to get it out of the kli, harder to get it into a kli. Okay, so that's the inyan of ein blios and kli kli below rotav. The next, maybe we'll just mention Sivchas very, very quickly. And then we'll go on from there. We'll go on to Malicha. We'll mention Sivchas very quickly. The Gemara says that a kidney was once roasted with the chayla that's on it, and they pass them bahaka. Why did they pass them bahaka on the kidney? Because the membrane separating the kidney from the chayla protected the kidney from being valaya any of the chayla. So the Shulchan Aruch and Sivchas writes, Kulya shetzalu v'chelbo, eino olisraelu kadei klipa, shakru mafsik. It's only ganasik to take but the chrom is mafsik. The membrane is mafsik. However, the Ramar writes, "V'yesh osur b'chenogim be'in l'shanos v'dino k'shar chil v'alitzel and basar." No, it goes k'dei netila. It's just as asur. In the special called kach akul yanasis nevelim torakshishim megan kula vuadim b'chrom sha'ali yosemis. Ramar writes that it's going to be asur. So the shach and sipkatan yudalim. Quotes two reasons for the Chumrah of the Rambam over here. He writes, Kaspa smak, Sikon Chafat. But Hatam, Kaspa smak, Tahaduka Amr Bishas, Shakru Mafsik, Lokai Bimaskana. And the smak says that if you learn the Sugya, the Gemara said such a Svara, but then didn't conclude like that Svara. Umari, Hosvota, the Cheshin and Shemin Nifchas Hakru, that the membrane Enochinami will be Mafsik. But you can't be sure that the membrane remains intact. A lot of times you ever try to like grill chicken and you want to keep the skin on the chicken because it holds the juices better, but sometimes it slips off or you cut it back. So the membrane around the kidney is going to be the same issue. Okay, that's Shem. Tomorrow we'll move on to see if the test will be valid, where we get into Malika and other such things. Have a great day.